turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. You're fine, just see. Genesis 39. Last week, we looked at this text, and we, in the morning and the evening, we talked about sacred sexuality, and had a lot of positive comments on that, a very important topic as our society and culture becomes less and less moral. Unfortunately, many of God's children are following in that path of immorality. God's word has not changed on the subject of morality.
Right.
And God's holiness has not changed to be more accepting of immorality.
Right.
And we need to honor God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's.
Amen.
The Bible still says that, and I still believe that, and we need to honor God that way. But we're in chapter 39 this time, looking at a different topic, and it's a topic of maturity. And as parents of children that are still growing up, it is our job and responsibility to help prepare our children to be mature and functioning and successful adults. That's our job.
Yeah.
And God's word will help us with that.
Amen.
But what's that goal look like? What are some of the markers we're looking for? You know, the sad reality is maturity is not automatic with age.
Yeah.
I've met some very immature people who were 50, 60 years old. They're still acting like adolescents. It's pretty pathetic. But it doesn't matter, regardless of your age, there are some markers to monitor in your life to see how that is going for you in your life. Markers of maturity, regardless of age. And we see some of these markers in the life of Joseph. And as we read through this text, we're going to examine some truths in these first nine verses of chapter 39 that will not only help us that have children we're raising, or maybe helping to raise our grandchildren, or even in our own lives, things that we can identify and we can look for to see how we're doing in this area of maturity. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 39. God's word says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' And he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this text. I thank you for this great example of godly character and integrity.
Amen.
And morality in the life of Joseph. Lord, help us to learn from this young man, just a mere teenager, 17 years old, and he's just being faithful to you.
Amen.
Lord, help our young people to learn that they can be faithful Christians as teenagers. They don't have to wait till they're an adult. That's why your word tells Timothy from the hand of the Apostle Paul, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in every area of life. God, help not only our teenagers to be examples in their living of life, but Lord, help all of our folks here learn from Joseph principles that will help them live exemplary lives in a world that is desperately looking for authenticity and integrity. Lord, help us be that person. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's some ironies in Scripture. And here in this text, we see some of that in the life of Joseph. And notice, it tells us here in chapter 39 and verse 1, that the Potiphar, the Egyptian, bought Joseph from the hands of the Ishmaelites. That's kind of interesting. You know who the Ishmaelites are descendants of? Ishmael. You remember who Ishmael was? The other son of Abraham, not the son of promise, but the other son. Isaac was the son of promise from Sarah. Ishmael was the son of the flesh from Hagar, the handmaid. And that was a constant source of contention in that home. And Abraham even said, before Isaac was born, Abraham says, why can't Ishmael be the chosen one? And the reason is because you did that.
Right.
I'm going to give you a son that you don't do. I do it. I'm going to give you a son of a miracle.
Amen.
And you're just not old enough yet, Abraham. Hey, have you thought about that?
Yeah.
You're not old enough yet. God's not done with you yet.
Amen.
There's some miracles God still wants to do in your life, regardless of your age. See, in this story, we see this irony of the descendants of Ishmael taking the descendant of Isaac off to Egypt to be sold into slavery. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Yet God is at work the whole time.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what age you're at. I had the honor of speaking at the funeral service of Evelyn Johnstone yesterday. Evelyn went home to be with the Lord. She was 96 years old. Just loved God.
Yes.
Faithful servant of the Lord, right up to the end, had a prayer list of people she prayed for, used the wealth that God allowed her and George to accumulate over time. They used that for missionaries and for orphans overseas and for Bible colleges. It just honoring, yes, God right up to the last day of her life, honoring God. And it was a joy to talk about that legacy. But you know, it doesn't matter what age you're at. God's not done with you yet. You know why I know God's not done with you yet? You're still here.
That's right.
Amen. You're still here. You're here. God has a plan for your life.
Right.
And you need to let God work that plan out. So we see this irony of the descendants of the son of the bondwoman taking the descendant of the promised child and selling them into slavery. You know, there's another irony in this story as well. Remember, it was Jacob that used some animal skins and some clothing of Esau to deceive his father to get the blessing. Remember that? And it was clothing, garments, that Laban used to deceive Jacob to marrying Leah when he thought he was marrying Rachel.
Right.
Remember that? Wonder if that ever crossed Jacob's mind when He realized he had been taken and deceived through garments. Well, wait a minute, Jacob, you did the same thing. Now, if you remember last Sunday morning's message, we see Judah being deceived to assume that his daughter-in-law, Tamar, was a prostitute because of her garments. People say clothing doesn't matter. I'm kind of thinking clothing matters a little bit.
Yeah.
Clothing can be deceptive.
Yeah.
Clothing can also be truthful. But I think that's ironic that all of these people were deceived with the same thing and they got caught with their own deception. You know, Joseph in Scripture is a type of Christ. He's a basically a human picture of foreshadowing of the coming Messiah. And there's a lot of things in the life of Joseph that help us to see some things that we understand when we get to the New Testament and Jesus. One is the fact that, according to far as his dad is concerned, at this point in his life, he's dead. Right? His father assumes Joseph is dead. Later on, he finds out he's not. Now, Jesus literally was dead. But aren't you glad in 3 days he came back to life? Joseph was sold for just 20 pieces of silver. And Jesus was sold for some coins too, as Judas betrayed him. There's a lot of similarities in the life of Joseph and the life of Christ. And I want you to hold to where you are in Genesis 39. Put your bulletin or something in there so you can come right back to it. But I want you to go with me to the New Testament. And let's look at a scripture about Jesus. But we can also see some parallel in the life of Joseph in this same scripture that helps us understand a little bit about maturity. When I was in youth ministry, I had a lesson in my series of 4 years of lessons. I had several lessons that came out of this text dealing with different topics in regards to teen life. And one of them was the topic of maturity. Because we see Jesus as the greatest example to follow. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Amen.
And we see Jesus maturing while he is here in human form on the earth. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 51 and 52, we see some elements of maturity that every one of us need to pay attention to in our lives. And as parents or caregivers of young people, we need to pay attention in their life as well. The story here is when Jesus was 12 and they were in Jerusalem for the Passover, and the family was traveling with many other family members. You don't travel alone in the desert. You travel in caravans with lots of people. Makes you less susceptible to thievery. And so Mary and Joseph takes off out of Jerusalem after the festivities are over. And they assume that little young Jesus is with another family member. Because obviously he knew when they were leaving and everybody was leaving at the same time, and off they went. As they traveled on, they realized Jesus was not with anybody. So they return back to Jerusalem and they look around for Jesus, and they find Jesus sitting in the temple teaching the teachers. If they didn't know they had a special child before, they knew now. Amen? And so they kind of get on to him for, didn't you know we would be concerned about you and you ought to let us know what's going on? How many of you ever had that speech with your kids? You're in good company. Verse 51, it says this, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." If Jesus, the creator of the universe in human form, was submitted to his earthly parents, what right does any mere human teenager or child have to be disrespectful to his father or mother? Have you ever thought about that? If anybody had the right to pull a trump card on their parents, it was Jesus, because he was their creator. But he didn't do that.
Right.
He submitted to them and respected them.
Amen.
He was subject to them. It says, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. She thought about it. There's a lot of things our kids say that we need to think about, because it's probably important for us to understand what's going on in their head. But notice verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Basically, you can label those as he matured mentally, intellectually. He matured, where it talks about in wisdom. He matured physically. He grew from a boy to a young man to a man. He matured spiritually in favor with God and socially in favor with man. Those are four areas that we as parents need to pay attention to our kids. How are they developing mentally? Are they reaching their potential? If you have a student that has A potential, do not be okay with C's and D's. Amen? But if their potential is B's and C's, do not degrade them for not having A's. You've got to know the mental potential of your child. You've got to know what they're capable of. And you've got to encourage them and motivate them and help them reach their potential. That's part of maturing. That's part of the stage of life they're at. And then physically. Obviously, they need to develop physically. If there's some kind of a negative effect in their physical development, we need to go to a doctor. We need to figure out what's going on. If a little child doesn't learn to crawl, and they're like a year old, they're not crawling, we know there's a problem in their physical development. And the earlier you can identify those things and you can do some therapy to work on those things, the better off for the child, right? But you know, a lot of times kids get all hung up with physical development and they worry about it. You know, God has put within you, it's all going to work. You're going to grow exactly the way He wants you to grow. And you need to be content with such things as you have. You know, it's amazing. Tall people want to be shorter and short people want to be taller. We're just not content, are we? And it's not unique to adolescence to not be content with who you are. That's something that's an issue of maturity I see even with adults. People just not being content with their abilities. They instead of maximizing the abilities they have, they waste time wishing they had a different ability. Man, you should have grown out of that a long time ago. But it happens. If we don't help our young people learn to be content with who they are, with the abilities they have, that's going to keep them in bondage for a long time. And instead of maximizing their potential, they're going to be crippled in their potential, because they're going to waste all this time bemoaning what they have and wishing they had something different. Parents, that's our job, to help them. To help them be okay with who they are. Amen. Because society at large isn't going to help them with that. Yeah. Amen? So developing physically. And then favor with God and man. And that's part of why you're here today. Being faithful to the house of God is part of your spiritual maturity. Amen. But you know what? You wouldn't mature, you wouldn't develop physically very well if you only ate once a week, would you? Or twice a week? Or if you're really faithful, three or four times a week? You'd be missing out on all kinds of minerals and all kinds of protein and all kinds of nutrients that would help you build muscle and help you build strength. You couldn't live physically on four meals a week. So just being faithful to the house of God is not all you need to develop spiritually either.
You need to be feeding on the Word of God. You need to be drinking the milk of the Word. You need to be being nourished with the protein of the meat of the Word on a daily basis to help you to develop spiritually. You need to build that personal relationship with the Lord. And then we see favor with man, and that's socially. And, you know, social development is very important. Learning what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Those are things we need to be teaching our children. And we see those things. Go back with me, if you would, please, to Genesis 39. We see those same things in Joseph's life. We see him developing physically. The Bible says that he was a goodly young person and well-favored. He was strong, and he was a hard worker, and he was physically maturing. And we see that he had integrity, and he was respected. Amen. And he was trusted. That is something that our children and young people need to understand the value of. They need to understand the value of trust. And they need to understand that trust is not an automatic given. Trust is earned, and trust can be lost, and trust is built with truth. And untruth hinders trust. And trust in relationships is everything. And it is not just parents and children. It's spouses. If we don't teach our children to be trustworthy, one day it's not going to be us that's struggling with trusting them. It's going to be their spouse or their boss. See, we need to teach our kids the importance of trust and truth, because truth builds trust. But see, in the life of Joseph, we see these things taking place. He's maturing. He's developing. See, when he got those dreams of being a leader, and his siblings bowing down to him, and even his father and mother bowing down to him, he wasn't ready for that then. He needed to grow some, amen? He's in the school of hard knocks right now. And he's growing and developing and maturing. And God is equipping him. In all of these experiences, God is equipping him with all of the things he's going to need to lead the nation of Egypt, and to rescue the nation of Israel.
Amen.
See, you think you're wasting time in a menial job. You think you're wasting time in schooling. You think you're wasting time being under a foreman. Well, if you will change your thinking and think of the fact that maybe God is growing you and developing you and maturing you and equipping you for something different later, you might even experience that something different later. But if you get frustrated in the process and you rebel against God trying to equip you, you're going to keep yourself stuck spinning your wheels. I'm so glad when I look at the life of Joseph, I do not see a guy stuck spinning his wheels. I see a guy constantly making progress because he's constantly letting God work, and he's constantly trusting God to get him to his desired place. We waste so much time fighting against God that we never get to the place God wants us to get. If we would just start cooperating with God, we could speed up the process. Amen. So Joseph, first of all, he walked with the Lord personally. It says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. And it says in verse 3, the Lord was with him. It says in verse 21 that the Lord was with him. It says in verse 23 that the Lord was with him. I think one of the things that helped Joseph go through all of the difficulties he went through was he was confident that the Lord was with him. He knew the promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm so thankful for those promises in Scripture. Amen. Promises that are recorded in the Old Testament and the New Testament of his abiding presence with his children. Joseph understood that the Lord was with him. You know, this phrase, the Lord was with, is used 18 times in Scripture. That is, the amazing part is the 18 times it's used. I would encourage you to do a word study on that this week. It would encourage your heart to see the people that the Lord was with. Here, let me just give you their names. Isaac, the Lord was with him. Joshua, the Lord was with him. Samuel, the Lord was with him. David, the Lord was with him. John the Baptist, the Lord was with him. And you know what? This is an interesting one too. In the book of Acts, it is used about the believers who were saved in Jerusalem, and then the persecution got strong in Jerusalem, and they scattered abroad, and some of them went to Antioch, and the Lord was with them, and they preached the gospel, and much people were saved. My friend, when the Lord is with you, you're exactly where the Lord wants to use you if you will just submit to Him. Joseph was used by God wherever he went because he knew the Lord was with him and he submitted to the Lord working in his life. Amen. And we need to do the same thing. See, Joseph had a real faith in a real God. You know, it saddens me when I read statistics of 80% of young people graduating out of high school in good churches, going to state universities, 80% of them turning their back on their faith. That is sad. I'm thankful that our percentage is a bit higher than that, but we're not at 100% of people sticking with their faith. My goal is to reach 100%, where every young person that comes through our church stays faithful to the Lord. You say, that's a lofty goal. Hey, you got to shoot for something, amen? Amen.
Right.
Might as well be the top, right?
Right?
You say you want to do that to be proud about it? No, I want to do that so those kids can experience God's best in their life.
Amen.
But even here at Eastern, I don't know what it was like when Sky was there, but I know what it was like when Jeff was there as a freshman. There's professors in the university, they say on day one, if you're a Christian, my goal is to cause you to doubt your faith. Now, if in a state university a Christian says, if you're not a Christian, my goal is to convert you to Christianity, they would lose their job in a heartbeat. That's a double standard. But that's the world we live in. I was listening to a radio program about a college student that went to one of the universities in Texas, and he had that same experience. Actually, it was a girl. She had the same experience. And she wanted to go into, she was in biology because she wanted to go into pre-med and go to medical school. And she had the same experience. And she actually wrote a book for high school students to help equip them for when they go to state universities from her own experiences. She's pulling a full-time education and writing a book at the same time about the process. She's pretty impressive girl, I kind of think. But she embraced that to help strengthen her faith instead of letting it turn her from her faith. If you're 17 here, or even 13, think of the people that were removed from their support system as a teenager in the Bible.
Yeah.
Joseph's one of them. Daniel's one of them.
Yeah.
Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, three more. That's just off the top of my head. I'm sure we could come up with some others. But of those five that I just numbered, every single one of them stayed true to their faith.
Amen.
Without their support network.
That's right.
So young person, do not buy into the lie that everybody's doing it.
Yeah. Right.
Because everybody's not doing it.
That's right.
Rachel went all the way through state university. And she's as solid as she can be in her faith.
Amen.
And she actually graduated debt-free.
Amen.
But I'm just telling you, everybody's not fallen by the wayside spiritually.
Yeah.
Joseph didn't fall by the wayside. He stayed true to his faith. How did he do that? He maintained the right focus. He focused on the Lord. He focused on being with the Lord. He never saw himself as alone. He saw himself as with the Lord. He never saw himself as out of the protection of the Lord. He saw himself in the protection of the Lord. Even though bad things were happening, he knew the Lord was with him. And he kept himself focused on the promises of God. My friend, this book is your greatest defense against the doubts the world can throw at you. This book can stand up to all of the questions thrown at it. Stay in this book. Know this book. This book is called the Sword of the Spirit. A sword is an offensive and defensive weapon. Arm yourself with the Sword of the Spirit and be skillful in the use of it.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the shield that we need, the shield of faith. So the Word of God helps us to have the shield of faith, and it is the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith is also an offensive and defensive weapon. My friend, we need to be skillful in this book so we'll have a strong faith, and so we'll have skill at using the Word of God, not only to defend ourselves, but to attack Satan's strongholds. That's how Joseph did it. I think it'll work for us too.
Amen.
See, he was with the Lord, so he was in the place of the Lord's blessings. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You want the blessings of God? Stay away from ungodly friends.
Amen.
Right.
See, it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You want the blessing of God? Don't stand around sinners causing you to think sinfully. Be around them to be a witness, but don't be around them to be one of them. See, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see that digression?
Yeah.
Walking, standing, sitting. Ungodly to scorner.
Yeah.
If you don't want to become like the world, don't hang out with the world. The Bible says, he that is around the wise will be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed.
Yeah.
See, Psalm 1 says, if you want to be blessed, let God bless you by being in the right place. Joseph was in the right place and the Lord blessed him. Joshua 1, it says a very similar thing. He says, in Joshua 1, God is telling Joshua he wants him to lead the children of Israel. And he says, be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I am with you. Wherever you go, I'll be with you. And he says, this book of the law shall be in your heart. Meditate on it. Let it help you to have good success and to be prosperous. Kind of thinking Joseph was prosperous and he was blessed wherever he went because he kept his focus on the promises of God.
Yeah.
You know what? The blessings of God are evident.
Amen.
Some of the blessings of God are just between us and God and other people don't see them. But many of the blessings of God are very evident to others. Potiphar was a smart guy. When he bought Joseph, he just thought he was getting a Hebrew slave. But when he gave him responsibility, he saw Joseph was the above average Hebrew slave. And then as he watched Joseph more, he saw that everything Joseph did was very good. And he had success in whatever he strived to do. And it was that evidence of the blessing of God that caused him to promote him to be overseer of his house to where he was the manager of his entire estate to where he did not even care about knowing what he had. He trusted Joseph completely. If you want to be advanced in the blessing of the Lord, be blessable. Be blessable. Don't allow yourself to get drawn away from being faithful to the Lord. Just be blessable. Let the Lord bless you. See, Joseph, it was evident to Potiphar that God was with him and that he was a special young man. And the Bible says that God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. And I've heard that even in modern days. You know, I hear people talk about, and there are times where Christians are persecuted in the workplace because they're Christians, and they don't get advanced, and they suffer for it. I understand that. But I've also heard in the workplace of people who just live by biblical principles and they honor God with their life, and they're in a situation where they are advanced. But it doesn't matter if you're advanced here on this earth or you're not advanced here on this earth. If you're faithful to the Lord will bless that. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
For Joseph, it worked where he was blessed on earth and in heaven. But for you, it may just be in heaven. But that's no excuse to stop being faithful to the Lord.
Right.
See, Joseph was respected by others. See, this is a marker of maturity, respect. Just being steady, that's a marker of maturity. Joseph was steady, and he was respected. His father respected him at a young age. His father respected whatever his word. When he brought a report back on his brothers, he respected that. He listened to it.
That's right.
Even though he was younger than his brothers, he listened to it because he knew he was trustworthy. He knew Joseph was more trustworthy than the rest of his sons. So he respected that. Now, his brothers didn't respect him at first, but later on, they sure did respect him. Amen.
Right.
See, he was respected by his family. Young people, listen, I'm talking to you right now. How are you respected by your family? Your life determines your respectability.
Right.
Your truthfulness determines your trustworthiness.
Amen.
And your trustworthiness speaks to your integrity. And your integrity speaks to your respectability.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of people in this valley do not agree with me on a lot of subjects. And that doesn't bother me. But I sure hope they respect me for being consistent.
Amen, brother.
They don't have to like me. But I want to live a life that they at least respect me.
Amen.
How respectable are you?
Oh, my God.
That is something I pay attention to in my life on a regular basis. I haven't achieved my goal yet. You know why? I'm not in heaven yet.
Yes.
So as long as I'm here on this earth, I can blow it. And being respectable is a marker I pay attention in my life. I want to be trusted. I want to be seen as a person of integrity. I want to be respected. So I want to be respectable. See, Joseph was respected. He was respected by those that he worked for. He was respected by his father when he worked for him. He was respected by Potiphar when he worked for him. He was respected by the prison keeper when he worked for him. He was respected by Pharaoh when he worked for him. Do you see a pattern going on here?
Yeah.
It didn't matter who his boss was. Every one of his bosses respected him because he was a man of character.
Amen.
He was a man of conviction. He was not a man of circumstantial or situational ethics. He was a man of conviction and principle and conviction. See, those he worked for respected him. Why did they respect him? Well, because he worked hard. Do you want to be respected by your coworkers? Work hard. Will some of them take advantage of that and slough off because they know you'll pick up the slack? Yes, they will. I can guarantee you they will, because there's a lot of sluggards out there. And if you work long enough, sooner or later, you're going to work with one. And they're going to ride on your coattail. But hey, guess what? God's blessed and honored by that.
Right.
See, Joseph did his job diligently. Joseph had a great work ethic. Joseph had a special level of integrity. Joseph was trustworthy, therefore he was trusted. And the hand of God was on Joseph in a special way. All of those things caused people to respect him.
Yeah.
And guess what? If those things are in our life, people will respect that too. They may not agree with you, but at least they may respect you. See, Joseph made himself blessable. It's probably not a word. In fact, I looked it up. I didn't find it anywhere. But it gets a point across, right? To be able to be blessed. Blessable. Joseph was blessable. You know what we need to strive to be in our lives? Blessable.
Amen.
Be in a place where God can bless us. Be in a place where our boss can bless us. Be in a place where your parents, children, young people, be in a place where your parents can bless you.
Yeah.
Be blessable. You want blessings? Be blessable. Joseph was blessable because he was faithful. See, when people respect you, they often will bless you. The Bible says that he found grace in the sight of Potiphar. It's obviously he found grace in the sight of the Lord. He found grace in the sight of the prison keeper. He found grace in the sight of Pharaoh. How did he find grace in all of these things? Because he was living with integrity. And often integrity generates its own reward. But I don't know about you, but if I can look at myself in the mirror and I know that I am doing right, even though nobody else sees all that I do, if I know I'm doing right, no matter what anybody sees, I'm okay with that. That gives me a sense of accomplishment. But when I look in the mirror and I know I'm hiding something, nobody else sees, but I know it and God knows it, I have a hard time with that. See, integrity brings its own reward. Clear conscience, that's pretty good reward. Amen?
Amen.
See, the Bible says that the guilty man's always looking over his shoulder, wondering when he's going to get caught.
Yeah.
The guy with a clear conscience doesn't have to worry about what's coming behind him because he doesn't have anything catching up with him. See, integrity brings its own reward. And Joseph was rewarded for his integrity. He was rewarded by the Lord. He was rewarded by Potiphar. He was rewarded by the prison keeper. He was rewarded by Pharaoh. And you know what he did with every one of those rewards? He sought to be a blessing to others. It's a cycle of blessing. Be blessed by God so you can be a blessing to others. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. And there's a graphic there on the screen. Cycle of blessing. To where you're living a life that is blessable. And you accept those blessings as a gift from God's hands. And you don't hoard them to yourself, but you seek to use them to other people. And one blessing, as you're faithful in that blessing, it leads to another blessing. And as you're faithful in that blessing, it leads to another blessing. And as you're faithful in that blessing, it leads to another blessing. And that's the life of Joseph.
Yeah.
Wherever he was faithful.
Amen.
And he was blessed for faithfulness. And he was faithful with that blessing. And he was blessed for that faithfulness. And he was faithful with that blessing. And he was blessed for that faithfulness. And my friend, that's the kind of cycle you want in your life, is a cycle of blessing to where God blesses you and you bless others. And God blesses you more and you bless others more.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the blessings are, if they're financial.
Good preaching.
You take the blessing of God. And you benefit from it, but you use it for others. Maybe you give to the Lord's work. Maybe you give to someone you know that's in need. But you take the blessing of the Lord and you share it with others.
Amen.
Financially. Maybe it's with something in the Word. God blesses you with a truth. And you text it to your friends to share with them the blessing. Or you put it on Instagram. Or whatever social media you use, Facebook, whatever. But you take the blessing and you share the blessing. You know what saddens me? How many Christians are hoarders of the blessings instead of sharers of the blessings? Joseph was not a hoarder of God's blessings. He shared them with others.
Amen.
Then the last thing I want you to see in a mark of maturity in Joseph is Joseph controlled his physical passions. You know what external controls are? The only reason there's external controls is because of a lack of internal control.
Yeah, right.
Kids, I can tell you, let me give you a secret of parenting, okay? The only reason your parents have rules is because you're not ruling yourself.
Yeah.
If you rule yourself the way they want you to rule yourself, they don't need rules because you're ruling yourself. Workplace, what, it doesn't matter what it is. School, whatever it is. You know why there's stupid rules out there? Because some stupid person did something stupid and there's a stupid rule now.
Yeah.
How many of you ever looked at a rule and you said, man, that's stupid?
Yeah.
There's a reason why. Somebody did something stupid. And now everybody has to suffer for it. But that's all rules are. Rules are an external control because of a lack of internal control.
Yeah.
That's all they are. You know what maturity is? An internal control to where there's no need for external control.
Right.
Joseph had that completely. His father wasn't around. His support network wasn't around, but he was steady. He was faithful. He was who he was no matter where he was, no matter who he was around. He was who he was, and who he was good. He didn't need any external controls. See, when he got a job at Potiphar's house, he was the best worker. That's why he was advanced. He didn't need Potiphar watching him. All he needed was a job to do, and he did it. That's the kind of worker you need to be. That's a mature worker. In fact, in Colossians, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but pleasing God. And guess what? God sees everything, even the stuff your boss doesn't see.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
Christian, do not be the worker that only works when the boss is watching. That is completely unethical. It is completely wicked. It is completely lazy. And it is completely pathetic. Do not be that worker. Be the worker that works hard no matter if anybody's watching or nobody's watching.
Yeah.
That's what Joseph did. He was mature in that way. Why? He had internal control. I have a job. I need to do a job. Didn't matter if anybody was watching or not. It's my job. I do it. See, when you have self-control, you don't need external controls. Self-control is governing one's own desires themselves. It's self-restraint. It's keeping yourself back from what you could do if you could get away with it. That's maturity. That's character. Self-restraint. Self-governing. See, it's self-induced regulations instead of authority-induced regulations. My friend, that's liberty. When you regulate yourself so authority doesn't have to regulate you, that's liberating.
You're right.
And if you're a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you to help you to govern yourself. It's not on you, all on you. If you let the Holy Spirit help you, He will. See, mature people do not need rules because they rule themselves. And that's what Proverbs 25 says. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Self-restraint in diet. I know that, you know, some people don't want to hear that, but it is important. Amen.
Amen.
But that's what the Bible says. It's not good to eat too much honey. And it's not good to seek your own glory. We call that pride. Amen. But it says in verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. No self-defense, no self-control. Totally subject to passions. See, Joseph ruled himself personally and he ruled himself sexually. So when Potiphar's wife says, lie with me, he says no. When Potiphar's wife every single day trying to wear him down said, lie with me. He said, no. Why? Could he have gotten away with it? Probably. But that doesn't matter. Doing right is not about what you can get away with. Doing right is about doing right.
Amen.
See, Joseph shows us these marks of maturity. Self-control is huge. When you look at your child, your young person, how are they doing on self-control? That'll help you understand where they are in maturity. When you look at yourself in the mirror, how are you doing on self-control? That'll help you know where you are on maturity. How are you doing on respectability? Being respectable. How are you doing on trustworthiness? How are you doing on just being with the Lord and letting the Lord be with you? That may be where the problem lies right there.
Yes.
The problem may not lie in anything but that.
Yeah.
See, when you realize the Lord is with you and you're with the Lord, man, that solves a lot of problems right there.
Yeah.
Where are you in all that? Has there been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner and you realized you needed a Savior and you realized God's only provision for salvation was Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ into your life and as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins by faith? Is He with you? If not, today would be a great day to invite Him into your life.
Yeah.
And as you leave here, remember, He's with you wherever you go. So let that thought affect your life as you grow and mature on this earth. Let's pray.